Listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Paul writes, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in my customary prayer.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Amen. I have a question for all of you this morning. How many of you enjoy being stuck in traffic? Raise your hand if you enjoy being stuck in traffic. Nobody raised their hand. Okay. Some things are timeless and universal. I think traffic jams is one that we can all disdain together. When I was living in Fredericksburg, one of the most frustrating experiences for me was getting caught in a traffic jam on I-95 going northbound. Now, if you've been on that stretch of road between Fredericksburg and Quantico, you know no matter what time of day or what day of the week, it always backs up. Always. The daily commuters call it the accordion effect. There seems to be no reason at all, but traffic slows down almost to a certain halt, and then at the hill, as you crest, this is going southbound, it picks back up again. One thing I've observed in that jam and many others is that often somebody in front of you will swerve over onto almost a shoulder as if to look ahead and say, "What is going on? Why are we in this? If I was ahead of the pack, we'd be cruising. What are they doing up there?" Well, I can get kind of self-righteous in these situations. But especially when the backup is caused by an accident. And it's on the other side of the freeway, right? And everyone's slowing down to take a look. I have grown this self-righteous discipline of not looking at all. But if I have a passenger, I say, "Sarah, would you take a look across there and see what's going on?" As I think to myself, really, you never seen a car accident before? You want to slow down and cause another one? Sure. Okay, good job. Well, traffic jams could be frustrating, but we could distract ourselves with music or books on recording or whatever, but as we said before, I think everyone hates to wait. Especially when you have a car full of children and they ask, "Why aren't we moving?" The best one is when they all have to use a restroom at the same time and there's nothing in sight. We are trapped, and that is the worst feeling. I've been using this app on my phone called Waze. That's a shameless plug if you know about it. It's a real-time traffic update. So as people see accidents or whatever else happens, I've had things like it report roadkill in road, right? I mean, that's crazy. It's so detailed and specific. It'll tell you about how long a backup is, about how much extra time it's going to take to get through it. That seems to help because I don't like to wait. This app gives me a sense of control over my time. It even tells me if I can take an alternative route off the freeway and work around it. But unfortunately, sometimes the only way is through it. And you have to wait. Traffic jams, airline departure delays, waiting in lines, waiting for service people to come to your house. All of these evoke emotions in us that show our impatience. And more, I think, our desire to be in control, and especially control of time. Time is precious. And when we feel ours is being squandered by waiting, we get irritated. Dad, I'm going to share something about your father. My grandfather hated to wait, didn't he? Hated it. So he would, when we would visit, every 30 seconds, he'd look at his watch. And if you notice, my father doesn't wear a wristwatch, and that's the reason. I remember one visit, I was a child, and we were watching television together, and he must have flipped the time display on that screen every minute to see what time it was. My grandfather was not unique in this. Many of us check our watches, check the time. How is my time being used? Time. Control. Time, something we can never think we can get enough of. We live with an illusion that time is something that we should control. Technological advancements have eroded, I think, our ability to wait. When personal computers first arrived on the scene and in homes, you would wait several minutes for the thing just to boot up. And you'd think, wow, this is really fast. Now, if it takes longer than 30 seconds to a minute, we say, this is taking forever. Well, most of the time when we wait and get irritated over it, it's rather innocuous. It doesn't affect anybody. But sometimes our impatience can have grave effects. Someone fed up in traffic might speed down the shoulder and hit another car. Patience causes us to lash out at other people for wasting our time. Impatience can raise our blood pressure, be bad on our health. But perhaps worst of all, impatience is what we use to justify us disregarding others because we think we're the most important. Our time, our lives, more precious than others. A theologian by the name of Hans Urs von Balthasar suggested that impatience is at the root of all sin. Think about that. Listen to what he wrote. God intended man to have all good, but in God's time. And therefore, all disobedience, all sin, consists essentially in breaking out of time. Hence, the restoration of order by the Son of God had to be the annulment of that premature snatching at knowledge, the beating down of the hand outstretched toward eternity, the repentant return from the false, swift transfer of eternity to a true, slow confinement in time. And he said this, patience is the basic constituent of Christianity. We've been reading through a book, or I've been preaching through this book by Tish Harrison Warren, entitled by the same name as a sermon series. And she also writes about sitting in traffic. It wasn't my original idea. She writes this, sitting in traffic stuck is one of the very few times in my day where I embody the true state of my whole human existence. On the way. Already, but not yet. Living as a creature in the in-between, waiting. I'd never thought of that before. Maybe you will now when you're stuck in traffic. I'm forced to be disciplined and realize everything is not in my control, even time. And I can choose to either rant and rave against this, or I can choose to surrender to the fact that time is not mine, that it belongs to God. I am on the way my whole life. Harrison writes this, "Time is a gift from God, a means of worship. I need the church to remind me of reality. Time is not a commodity that I control, manage, or consume." This is hard. That's why we come together every Sunday in this time. How many of us check our watches, right? It's a reality. Our culture trains us to think time is scarce. Time is running out. Don't waste any time. All of this designed to make us rush from one experience to another. The time in between, the waiting time, is to be minimized at all costs. There's a book by Dr. Seuss. Probably many of you, if you're younger, received maybe upon a graduation called Oh, the Places We Will Go. Raise your hand. Oh, the Places We Will Go. You know it. And one of the pages, it talks about the time you're in the waiting place. And it lists all these ways we wait. It seems for even Dr. Seuss, that was the worst place. That seems to be the message in our culture. Time waiting is time wasted. Harrison again writes, "In the midst of our culture's tendency to embrace constant revelry that leaves us feeling hungover and empty, we are people in training, together learning to wait. There is something we are looking forward to, and we want it so bad that it's hard to be patient. So we grow irritable, resentful, prideful. When God or people fail to meet our timelines, they become obstacles to what we hope for, whether that is to arrive at our home after work, or a vacation destination, or simply a time to rest." Paul, in today's text from Romans, speaks of a different way. Waiting, he writes, is very much intertwined with hope. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I don't think he's saying this is a natural inclination for us. I think he says this is a gift of the Spirit. Yes, there is longing. Yes, there is groaning. But not because the waiting is in vain, but because it is preparing us for what is to be revealed. The use of birth imagery is essential to Paul's point. Labor pains prepare the body for a healthy birth. Without them, without a period of waiting, the baby would not be ready to come out into the world. Patience. Is filled with hope when the Holy Spirit is involved. Tertullian, an early church father, wrote this, "The singular mark of patience is not endurance or fortitude, but hope. To be impatient is to live without hope. Patience is grounded in the resurrection. It is a life oriented toward a future that God is doing. And its sign is longing, not so much to be released from the ills of the present, but an anticipation of the good to come." Think about that. Think about patience or impatience in your life. How many times has it been that you're not wanting to wait or getting irritable, resisting waiting, is because you are fearful, worried? God wants to meet you in that. God wants to give you the patience you need to fill you with hope. We are the people on the way to this good that Tertullian mentioned, but we're not there yet. to believe the fulfillment of our yearning for wholeness and complete peace, or shalom, can be and will be achieved in this life for ourselves or for others, ultimately leads to impatience and losing hope. But by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that groaning inward within us, we are trained to live and believe that we are all in some ways stuck in traffic, but yet moving ever so slowly toward our journey. The traffic jam of humanity can make it seem like we will never reach the destination. That sense of wholeness and peace that we long for, that we hope for. But the Spirit helps us stay attentive to our surroundings. We make the best use of the time we wait when we live it with hope. When we believe that we are on the way to discover the place our Savior has prepared for us, as he told the disciples in the Gospel of John. As we are waiting and watching for God's new heaven and new earth, we work with God in the time we have. We confess together that we are not in charge of God's time. We confess that we have time on this earth not to be exclusively used for just us. When we want everything our way, then we live with a false hope that we will find the truest joy through our selfish desire. But when we believe that time is God's for us to steward, then we find joy in the journey of waiting. We discover joy along the way, and we hold a hope that enlivens our beings and gives us life to share with others. People are no longer obstacles along the way. They are what the journey is all about. So this week, I'd like you to examine the times you are impatient. I'm going to do that. I've been doing that as I wrote this sermon, and I realize it's a lot of times. Pray. Ask God, what is behind this? What am I fearing? What am I longing for that is outside, perhaps, what God intends for me? Think about next time you were tempted to claim time as your own, or think of others as somehow taking your time, abusing your time. Think of those people in your path as blessings, not obstacles. God intends the best for us. Through all of life's challenges and struggles, God is with us, but we still wait to see the fulfillment of what God will do in our lives, the lives of this community, and the lives of the world. But when we wait with patience, we find an indescribable hope that is life-giving, that is a blessing for us and for others. Harrison writes the last words in this chapter. We are waiting, but we will make it home. All glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for whom we wait with patience, the hope of all creation.